This was a blog posted on December the 13th, 2013. And it's called Dirty Catholics, Smelly Nuns and Yoda. As mentioned in yesterday's blog post, I attended a funeral this week. It was held in a Catholic church and was a full Catholic mass. While I am not a Catholic now, I was, however, brought up as a Catholic. So, on the odd occasion when I do attend a Catholic mass, generally for funerals, weddings or christenings, I can easily slip back into the swing of things. I remember all of the various responses that the congregation say and the words that are said as part of the service. After all, I used to hear and say the same things week in, week out, from being a baby up until my teens. This gives me a feeling of slight superiority. I am not a Catholic, yet I am familiar to their ways. If I'm sitting next to people who aren't aware of the responses, then I would be the only one in the group who knew what to say and when to say it. They would look at me surprised, and after the Mass they would say, "I never knew you were a Catholic," and I would inform them that I am not a Catholic. They would ask how I knew all the words, and I will simply nod and smile sagely, as if to suggest that I am just the kind of person who is very wise and widely educated, and just knows these things. As you'd imagine, this kind of thing really impresses the ladies, and it has led to many erotic encounters post-service. Unfortunately, my pulling technique did not work on this particular day, which is a shame, because I always do especially well at funerals. "The Lord be with you," said the priest. Well, I didn't need prompting twice. The response was ingrained in me from childhood, and 3 years of absence from the church had not been enough to dislodge it from my memory. "And also with you," I responded loudly and confidently. But the rest of the congregation did not respond with, "and also with you." They had all responded by saying, "and with your spirit." What was going on? I was sure that I had responded correctly, but my response did not match the response of my fellow churchgoers. Quickly, I began to run through the service in my head, checking to make sure that I definitely not misremembered, but I was certain that I hadn't. As the gospel ended, I braced myself, mildly trepidatious, as the priest said the familiar words, "This is the word of the Lord." "Thanks be to God," I responded, as I had done for all those many years. But again, I was flummoxed to find that my response did not match the response of my fellow churchgoers. And this continued for the rest of the service. I would say the traditional response that I remembered from my childhood, and the congregation would say something similar, but nevertheless different. Certainly different enough to make me conspicuous. My confidence ebbed, and by the end of the Mass, I had given up trying. I was even afraid to join in with the Our Father, just in case they'd change that too. I was confused. I'd attended a funeral about 3 years ago, and the responses had been exactly the same as I'd remembered them. Upon asking a member of the congregation, I was told that the service had been reinterpreted to have more of a precise translation of the original Latin. This happened in 2011, which explains why I'd been fine at the funeral 3 years ago. I find it a bit strange that they've changed the words of the service, especially when it seems that many of the changes are very slight. From what I remember, in some cases the words had literally just been swapped around a bit to resemble what might happen if the Catholic Church appointed Yoda to help them with the translation. Also, given that a large number of Catholics and priests are quite old, it seems a bit cruel to change the familiar pattern of words that's been routine to them for 40 years. Being blind, I went to a different school to my brothers. They attended the local Catholic school, but I attended another school which had special provision, which was not a Catholic school. Therefore, I did not get a Catholic education at school. But my dad, keen that I shouldn't miss out on all the fun, decided to book me in to see a nun once a week, who would give me my Catholic education. It is probably a great sin to speak ill of a nun, but I am prepared to be damned to hell for all eternity if it means being able to produce a mildly interesting blog post. So, here goes. Sister Bernadette was a lovely woman. Let me start by saying that, okay? She was a kind, loving and devout lady. However, she did smell faintly of poo. Cleanliness might be next to godliness, but this particular nun was evidently so consumed by godliness that she'd not left any room for cleanliness to get near to her. Don't worry, Sister Bernadette died a few years ago, and so she won't be reading this. Although I assume that if she had ever started reading my blog, then she would have given up a long time ago. Probably as soon as she read blog posts with titles such as Fuck All Bus Drivers, Crazy Frog Porn, and Sir Patrick Moore and Lesbians. I saw Sister Bernadette weekly, between the age of 7 and 10. I used to get frustrated during our meetings because I felt that she wasn't really taking my questions about what she was teaching seriously. So I would interject with a question along the lines of, if God is loving and forgiving, why did he more or less flood an entire planet? Isn't that a bit over the top? To which she would respond in what I remember to be a fairly supercilious manner, ah, God works in mysterious ways. I tried this once with my parents when I was misbehaving, and they asked me why I had done what I had done. But they didn't seem to be amused when I responded by informing them that their son, David Eagle, works in mysterious ways. One rule for one rule for another. Her other favourite retort to my questions about God and Jesus and their actions was, don't question, just have faith. A part of me is quite hostile about this kind of teaching. We should be encouraged to be curious and to question. In education, we often are given permission to explore and question, but when it comes to the Word of God, we are taught to blindly accept. I think this is quite damaging for children. In fact, I think it's damaging for adults too. Sister Bernadette told me about the importance of praying. She said that she prayed daily for guidance from God and that God gave her advice about how she should conduct herself in life. I couldn't help wondering why God couldn't have told her at least just once in all those years that she might want to wash herself a little bit more thoroughly. I remember her telling me that she and her fellow nuns made the wafer bread that we ate in church at Holy Communions. After learning this, I felt sick every time I took communion and was convinced from that point onwards that the wafers had a taste of poo about them. It was bad enough that we were apparently chewing on bits of Christ's flesh without having poo added to the mix. Meanwhile, the adults drank Jesus' blood from the same cup. What a dirty, unhygienic business Catholicism is, I thought. On Good Friday, we all had to process down the church to take our turn kneeling in front of a large wooden cross, which we all kissed. All those mouths kissing the one same bit of wood. On Holy Thursdays, the priest would walk up the church with a bowl of water and wash our feet, as Jesus did to his disciples at the Last Supper. What a dirty business. One other thing that I particularly recall about my time with Sister Bernadette was when she chastised me for using a big word. Jesus didn't use big words, David. He used simple language so that everyone could understand and get his message. To me, this seems like a bit of a ridiculous statement, considering that Jesus would have probably spoken some form of Hebrew, and he has to rely on a multitude of human translations and interpretations to get his message across to people. If only the all-loving, all-forgiving, all-knowing God hadn't been so rash and callous during the Tower of Babel incident, then we wouldn't need to translate the Word of God into all those different languages, and we might have a better chance of understanding what his son was trying to say. Still, we shouldn't expect too much. He's only an all-knowing, all-powerful deity. I wonder how Sister Bernadette would have reacted to the Catholic Church's new interpretation of the service, given her disdain for big words and complicated language. From what I can see, big words and complicated language is precisely what this new interpretation involves. The Holy Creed, for instance, which is said in nearly every Catholic service by the entire congregation, was always a lengthy bit of prose to remember and recite. But after 40 years, it has been given an overhaul, which I believe makes it even more confusing for people to understand. Plus, they've got to learn the whole damn thing again and unlearn 40 years of weekly repetition. The Creed used to state that Jesus was begotten, not made, in one being with the Father. However, this particular passage has been altered and now reads, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Consubstantial, that's quite a big word, and a great deal more complicated a concept to understand. So, it's evidently not considered Catholic policy to avoid using complicated language and verbose phraseology. That was obviously merely the opinion of one nun. Yet she used God and Jesus as a means to vindicate her argument. Then again, where have we seen that before? So it is just her interpretation of the idea of Jesus and the Catholic religion. It is not a universally agreed concept. And it is this ambiguity and disparity of ideas among the teachers, nuns and priests of the Catholic Church that vexes and annoys me. There are all these people with all these different opinions and they're all telling us what Jesus thought. But none of them really know, even though they act as if they are a direct mouthpiece to the Lord. A perfect example of this in motion is the Sunday sermon, which is priests interpreting the gospel in their own unique way. When our regular priest retired, there wasn't a direct replacement available, and so we had a number of priests on rotation. During these years, I became increasingly more confused and disenfranchised with the Catholic Church. The reason for this was because all the different priests held a variety of conflicting and contrasting views and ideas about God. Therefore, each week we were given a different idea of who God is and what kind of a God he is. There was one particular priest who held the view that God was a vengeful God who would punish non-believers. Another priest believed that God was all-forgiving, and as long as people lived a good life, then they would be bound for heaven. Another, more down-to-earth priest, who fancied himself as a bit of a comedian and regaled us with Christian-based jokes and claimed that God was a Newcastle United football fan. Needless to say that this particular priest also just so happened to be a Newcastle United football fan. It became clear to me, essentially, that all these people were giving their individual beliefs. I didn't get a universal truth from the Catholic Church. Ironically, Catholic means universal. I got a confusing carousel of conflicting opinions. There you go. And reading back that there, I noticed a couple of mistakes. I do apologise. I opened a quotation mark randomly through that. I might have to correct that. And I also did a little couple of grammatical things wrong. I don't know why I'm doing an evaluation of reading the blog now. I'm doing an evaluation of the blog that I read. But also, I think my main concern with reading that back now is that I suggested that those things were unique to the Catholic Church, those points that I was making. Actually, I think they're relevant to probably every religion. I was just trying to express that from the point of view of the Catholic Church. So there is a little caveat at the end of that. But anyway, thank you very much for listening, and I hope to make your acquaintance very soon. Goodbye.